This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And that must make me Phil.
You're Phil, yeah.
I was Phil last week, yeah. So I guess I'm Phil this week.
Okay, you don't want to change?
Oh, it's too hard to change.
Yeah.
Is change really good for you?
Yeah. Thanks indeed for joining us. Welcome to Joy's History Program. Sometimes we drift a little bit away from the history aspects, but we like to bring up to people's attention events that have happened in our gay world that still affect us, hopefully, or maybe, and things that are happening at the moment. Current things are the history of tomorrow, aren't they?
Current events are rather important in lots of ways.
Because they signal advances in science and in sociology and our current world as events are happening.
And of course, you've got to remember that the current events are sometimes started by previous events back in history that still come forward to even to this day. So, and then they become current again.
The one thing that keeps popping up year by year of late seems to be Eurovision. And I think Eurovision is actually quite a wonderful little expose of gay life.
It is quite a gay sort of thing, isn't it, really? I mean, to say, they tried to get rid of it when they presented it from Moscow one year or something or other, or I can't remember, and it didn't work too well.
No, was that the Russian grannies? Possibly not.
I'm not sure, but I think
I'm sure Mr. Putin would have had an influence in what went to air from there.
Yeah, but they did try to take away all the gay thing of it, but there were too many gay performers.
We started our show with a little ident from Jessica Mowboy.
Wonderful, wonderful Jessica Mowboy.
Now, Jessica is a Indigenous person from Darwin, and she's been on the Australian pop scene for quite a few years now.
She's also a very good actor. She's been in a few other things as well. She's been in movies as well, yeah.
And she is presenting Australia's entry this year in the 2018 contest that happens between the 8th and the 12th of May, and this year it's coming from Lisbon in Portugal.
I tell you one thing, that Joy is very, very good with the Eurovision. They have leads into it and lead up, and then they do the whole thing. And you can always get a good reason why certain people are doing certain songs in shows because of the presenters here at Joy. They do a very good job.
So we're no longer asking why Australia is competing in the Eurovision Song Contest.
No, I think I did read somewhere where they were going to try to get an Asian contest going with the Asian basin
equivalent
to the Eurovision one, but I don't know how that would go. But
would
anyhow,
probably be easier to move Australia to Europe.
Yeah, well,
than to start another one.
No, it's not just for the countries of Europe. It is held in Europe land.
Yeah,
because there are a couple of countries already in there that are quasi European: Turkey and Israel.
Yes, that's
They're
true.
They're already in there. They've been in there from the word go.
But Turkey's in the neighbourhood.
Precisely. But we've
and you could walk there. See, I've got some issues with our location.
It's where the contest is held.
Okay.
Now, this year, Ireland's Eurovision entry actually stars a cute gay couple.
Oh, we did
a couple of lads.
We did sort of mention a few Irish singers that appeared together, but I think they had their time a few years ago, didn't they?
Well, they might have, yeah.
Yes, I'm talking about.
But it seems as the video shows a same-sex couple walking through the street hand in hand.
Well,
and it is hoped that this video being seen through the European final will actually reveal to some of the more obtuse countries the fact that this is standard behaviour in some other countries.
Chris, do you know whether the Portugal, do they have equal marriage rights now in Portugal?
Oh, yes, I think they
do. I think they do. I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure they're one of the countries that do have equal marriage. So it's not going to make much difference in Portugal, but it may make a lot of difference in countries like Russia and those sort of places.
Have you ever seen it as they go through the countdown, tallying the votes? They address each country, and the country representative speaks from that country. Thank you, Eurovision, for a marvellous contest again. Here is our vote. And you can tell by the voting if they've got any political allegiances to, say, the Eastern Bloc countries.
Well, this, of course, has caused some confrontation lately, because you'd get all the communist countries voting for each other and not for anybody else. And that was it was a bit hard for some of the countries to win. Like, there was one year where Great Britain had a great song, but hardly scored a vote because all the votes were going to the other countries, the red countries. Mm.
Well, now, Jessica has got a song called We Got Love, and she's quoted as saying, "I wanted to create something that could be universally understood, love." She wrote on Twitter, "Having been affected by recent world tragedies, the 28-year-old said she wanted to perform a song that was healing. All of these things we see online, whether in our Indigenous communities, past and present, and how the world is turning, made me angry. But what affected me more was the love coming from people, seeing people standing tall and strong."
Well, of course, she's right about the Indigenous people needing some help along that way too, because they've been downtrodden for so bloody long. It's good. Wonderful stuff.
In the current Melbourne Queer Film Festival, there's actually seems to be a change in the subject matter, from my point of view, that the films are using. Previously, there's been a fair concentration on the aspects of living with HIV, not that we should deny the fact that so many people are still living with HIV, but it's now got a less obvious place in our society because of the advances of medicine. And they're actually able now, in some of the films that I've seen, to show developing and developed relationships over, say, a span of a couple of generations, 20 or 30 years. And we've now got a vision of couples being able to express themselves for a long period.
You mean that the gay hero doesn't get killed in the end anymore?
Well, there's that, or killed early, or is blamed the ills of the world.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that used to be the common theme through a lot of the straight movies with a gay character, and the gay character always got killed off before the end. How many films have you then seen?
I've seen four so far. Two duds and two goodies.
Oh, right.
So I've got five more to go, and I'll give you a count next week. Someone else who left our midst, however, most recently on the 10th of March 2018, was Hubert Givenchy. And he was the fashion...
He was the man that made clothing simpler. He made that beautiful black dress that Audrey Hepburn wore at breakfast at Tiffany's when she wandered into the front of Tiffany's and looked at the jewellery. And they showed that scene a few times on the news when he died. But when they showed you what the other clothes that he'd made, they were so simple in line, and they were just so beautifully made. Yet anybody could have worn them. They were just beautiful. They weren't made for anybody that was sort of a...
I don't see me in the little black dress.
Neither do I, Quill.
When you say anybody, we need to qualify. The black dress, just not me.
Isn't it?
And the saddest thing is you cannot buy breakfast at Tiffany's.
What?
They don't sell breakfast.
They don't? Oh, well.
The jewellery shop.
You walk up to the counter and say, "Can I have a McMuffin?" And they just give you this look.
You wouldn't get it. You've got to get into the store first, I think, don't you?
I doubt whether I could.
I think they have armed guards at the door of most of those big jewellery shops in America.
Because breakfast is really precious.
Yes, especially if it's coloured green and wrapped in gold.
Thank you. And someone else who's having a birthday around about this time, on the 25th of March 1947, was born Elton John, the UK musician, singer and songwriter.
Actually born Reggie Dwight.
Yeah, Reggie Dwight.
Elton John is
You would want to change your name, wouldn't you?
His registered name is Elton Hercules John.
Yeah, now where did he get those names from?
From John Elton and from Long John Baldry. Long John Baldry is the John part.
Yeah.
And Elton is the name of another musician. It's not Ben Elton, the writer. No. It was another man named Elton who was a friend of his. Yeah, that's where he took his name from. I don't know where Hercules came from, though.
From the movie.
And Phil, you were saying that he didn't actually think that he'd last this long.
Well, it was an interview on TV, I guess because he's just announced his final tour, and they showed an interview from his very early days, and he basically said to the interviewer, if I'm still doing this, the releasing songs and touring, when I'm 39, shoot me. He's just turned 71.
Yeah, but probably because he was known to do all sorts of weird and wonderful things with bits and pieces of what you could take and drink.
Well, he was a hard partier.
Yes, and I guess he felt he wasn't going to live that long.
Well, he probably didn't think he could afford to keep up with all the costumes that he wore.
True.
He had a birthday party once and he arrived by truck because his outfit was so big and he had a yacht on his head. And it was just ridiculous.
I think he was trying to be Marie Antoinette or something.
Wasn't he looked the part.
Well, she's just definitely known for carrying a yacht on her head. That's right.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. And if you've got any questions telling us to shut up, play more musics,
or tell us how wonderful we are, you can email us on your computer Medtronic machine.
Oh, good.
And our email address is beenthere@joy.org.au.
We would love to hear from you. We do get little messages now and again from peoples.
Yes.
And we're quite chuffed.
We are. We get
we get really excited.
We're very easily pleased.
Yeah. It was an important birthday, not particularly in the gay community, but someone who had an incredible effect upon the world. 14th of March, 1879, long time ago, I know, but young Albert was born, but not in the Midlands. It was Albert Einstein.
Yes, he was a German theoretical physicist.
Eventually, after being born, he wasn't actually born as one.
No, but he certainly had.
He must have been fed good tucker.
But the funny part about it was he was the teacher when his first report said he was too dumb. They said he was a very dumb student.
Now, this means that to me that perhaps they didn't recognise his strengths because he had other qualities more obvious.
Yeah, something like that.
I suspect his intelligence and his way of thinking was on a different level to learning your 10 times table and your ABCs.
Yeah.
I mean, smart kids are often bored at school because they're beyond what's being taught.
It's often the smart kids that cause all the trouble in classrooms too because they are bored. It's a problem for teachers. If you've got one brilliant student in a room full of dullards, it makes it very, very difficult to teach. But anyhow, Albert Einstein, E=MC².
He thought through the whole process and came up with a solution to one of life's biggest mysteries.
Time.
But it's interesting now, though, that is accepted as black and white. It is written down and it's been proven by others, so people just go along with it now.
Well, he proved it theoretically, didn't he?
He did, in theory, because there was no higher reference that he could go to.
No, that's right.
And in lots of ways, the more modern theories are disproving the existence of God.
True. But then again, great minds must think alike, because there was somebody that actually died on
The 14th, the 3rd, again. But this was in year 2018, just passed, and that was Stephen Hawking.
Died on Einstein's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Ooh.
But his mission is slightly different. He wanted to be able to explain the complexity of the cosmos in simplistic terms, which he attempted in his book, A Brief History of Time.
Apparently that book inspired a hell of a lot of people to become physicists and mathematicians and all the rest of it. Yes.
Well, it made you thunk.
Did you?
And once you got thunking, you thunk even deeper.
I would have thunk right down into the ground, actually.
His work with black holes, taking Einstein's work with relativity and running with it. And it's like you said, it's like the base of the game was elevated, knowledge.
It was taken another step higher by Hawking, wasn't it?
Well, we always stand on the shoulders of pioneers.
He's been memorialised in lots of universities and everything all around the world, actually, as Hawking.
Well as Einstein, of course.
Einstein wasn't really pleased with what they did with his work, because his theory, the E equals MC squared, led to the eventual splitting of the atom, which led to the nuclear bomb.
Bombs, yeah. And he was never
happy
about
supporting of that.
No, the nuclear age, in fact, and we can't unlearn that.
No, you can't. You can never unlearn things that have happened.
Well, just as you can't unsee things.
Yes, but you have to be mature enough to understand how to harness power safely, and if you can't, then walk away. We haven't learned that lesson quite yet.
Some religions incorporate a degree of reincarnation, and they could look at those two dates and think, there can only be one super brain alive in the world at any one time, and here we go, there is a connection, though it's in the reverse order.
But it works. That's where the Dalai Lama comes from. He is the reincarnation of the previous Dalai Lama. And what they do is that they put a whole section of the toys and the bits and pieces that the previous Dalai Lama had on a tray.
Yeah.
Then they get a little child that's not yet two, because they haven't got a memory, a physical memory of the world around them. But they are supposed to be able to remember what it was in a previous life. And so that they, however many of the little objects that they pick up and play with is counted by the other lamas, and they then work out who was the Dalai Lama, and that's he picked out just about every one of the previous Dalai Lama's objects.
I know a modern equivalent to that.
What's that?
Barbara Streisand.
How come?
Her dog died.
Did she?
So she had it cloned, and now she's got two of the same dog. So she didn't have to pick which bone it liked or anything like that. She said, "I want that one again."
Yes.
So that's reincarnation.
Yes, but the religions like the Buddhist religion do believe in that, the reincarnation process.
They love believing things that you can't prove.
Yeah, well, most religions are something like that, aren't they?
Well,
but Buddhism isn't a religion, it's a philosophy, actually. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy of life.
Does it get tax breaks?
I'm not sure. It probably does, I would say. I would say they do. They classify it as a religion.
Sit down and philosophise.
Yeah.
Get in trouble with that in some countries.
When you go to some of the countries, you go to Cambodia, for instance, and the ordinary people are quite gentle because they follow the strict rules of Buddhism, where you look after everybody and you be kind to people.
And you're actually allowed to believe in other deities. Mm. So when you say, "Oh God, what happened?" you'll get three or four guys saying, what? how can we help you? as it appears.
Instant replay, Don Hartman.
Oh, yeah, we'll have an instant replay.
Reincarnation.
On the 22nd of the 3rd, 1994. On Joy.
Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Phil, Chris and Gordon, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. We were talking before that little break about Einstein and
Stephen Hawking,
indeed. And there's a few other people that have had sort of anniversaries around about this time. Leonard Nimoy, the wonderful character out of Star Trek, was born on the 26th of March, 1931.
He was with the pointy ears.
Yes, him with the funny hand signal. Yes.
To live long and prosper.
Oh, that's right.
In his really deep voice. But being Vulcan, or he was half Vulcan and half human.
Yes.
Is Mr. Spock. It's unfortunate that at the same time in the 60s we had Dr. Spock.
yeah.
telling us how to raise our kids. So we got our Spocks mixed up quite frequently.
But one had been vulcanized.
Oh, dear.
And, of course, also coming up in 2233 is Captain Kirk's birthday.
Now, well, if I may explain to our listening audience, we've now gone from describing actual human beings to a TV character from a 1960s show which didn't last very long. So this character will be born in the year 2233 in Ohio in the United States. And he is James Tiberius Kirk.
Yes. But how do we know that there's going to be an Ohio in 2233? We could be all...
Well, we have to remove our current president. Because yes. we're going to lose half the country if he hangs around.
Well, that's true too. But it may be covered... What I'm getting at, it could be covered in an ice age. Because ice ages happen from over the centuries.
Well, as long as you do it when I'm gone...
You don't want the beef cold.
I don't like the cold.
Oh, righto. Okay. We'll wait until the summertime
well,
for you.
What we might do is actually be grateful that created a little while back was World Meteorological Day. Back in 1950, on the 23rd of March, this particular day was nominated because they needed to actually share the resources of each particular country's weather bureaus mm-hmm. and put them all together and get a more realistic situation map. And, of course, as technology's developed, they've got huge computers now that can actually soak up all the information from all the world weather bureaus and look at the overall world events.
Well, that's what you get when you watch SBS News. At the end of the thing, they can tell you what the temperature is going to be in all the different capital cities of
exactly.
the world.
Exactly. Mm.
On the subject of huge computers.
Oh, yes.
In 1950, the computers would have been huge. Now we have immensely powerful computers that just sit in a cabinet. Then.
Yes.
They're, I'm just being a little pedantic.
They're probably bigger than the ones that were in the room.
No, they were...
No, now they've shrunk.
They've shrunk, but
in the 50s and 60s, computers took up floors of buildings.
Yeah, I know that. But what I'm saying is now that the computers we have would probably be much more powerful than
thousands of times.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Not the fact that they were bigger.
Powerful is different from size.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Well,
that's
one very disturbing fact I heard in Houston, Texas, is we're at the NASA facility which oversaw the Apollo missions.
Yeah.
The amount of computer power on the ship itself is less than your average four-function calculator.
Good God.
They were that basic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And even now you can't necessarily take your greatest and latest PC or your laptop into space because it's going to be bombarded by gamma rays.
Ah.
Which we've got an atmosphere down here which protects us from all that stuff.
Yeah.
But your little Intel... inside, it's going to end up with Intel outside because it's going to get blown up.
Well, how come the little calculators survived?
Because their technology is so old and not micro shrunk down. Mm-hmm. So now the technology is getting down to the size of electrons, which is ridiculous.
So that's why...
So I guess the size of the radiation
in
relation to the size of the circuitry is now... disturbingly large.
But that's good for weather forecasting for planes and ships and everything that needs to be have the weather forecast. But it also comes in handy when they could forecast like 3 days last week before the weekend that there was going to be bushfires. And there were.
They could actually track the Darwin cyclone and it didn't come out of nowhere.
No.
It was
on the radar all the time. Yeah,
as they say.
Yeah.
And that's because Big Brother is watching us.
Oh, is it? Okay.
He's orbiting above.
But does that have anything to do with the equinox, which is goes back from time immemorial?
Well, that's just the spinning of the Earth. Until we can control that, that's going to be
fairly
constant.
Well, we don't want to control that because everything...
Oh, I'm sure there's somebody wants to do it.
We don't know what's going to happen if they do.
Just
imagine probably all fall off.
Dr. Evil sitting there above his magma, rubbing his hands together as about to control the spinning of the planet.
Because the equinox is on the 20th of March this year, I think it is. It fluctuates between 21st and 22nd.
Well, nature's like that, isn't
Well, it's because of the way it's the angle where the Earth is at the point where it goes into this orbit for the moon or the sun or something rather. So you get equal day
and
equal night.
You're getting too technical.
Yeah. You get equal day, equal night.
Yes.
Mm. Now, something else that's actually happened that was almost unexpected in my books, Prince William of the English royal family.
The Duke of Cambridge.
And he's third in line. He's actually pledged to help scrap anti-LGBTI laws in 37 countries. And I suppose that's a bloody good purpose for him to adopt. It's in the fashion of his mother adopting socially significant events to sponsor.
Mm, that's true.
But of course, he's got a little bit of collective family guilt, because way back when there was lots of red patches on the world atlas indicating Britain had these countries as its possessions or colonies, a lot of laws were enacted that were current at the time in Great Britain.
That's right.
And this was, you know, 200 years ago. But the laws in Great Britain have moved on. They're still frozen in time in the Commonwealth countries.
See, we were one of those countries that had we were ruled by the British law as well. And it took, when we became a country and they signed that agreement back in 1934 or something or other, where it completely took us away from the British Crown, that's when we could start writing our own laws, which we have done.
So. Well, we did, but a lot of the laws that were dumped on these countries were sexually repressive for us gay people. And of the 53 countries in the Commonwealth, 37 of them still have these old English laws as part of their laws. They might have separated or at arm's length, but they haven't updated their own laws. And there's a Prince William has been nominated for a British GLBT award for his pledging of supporting LGBTI equality in the Commonwealth. So there's another organisation called the Kaleidoscope Trust, which is doing a lot of work trying to affect each government to liberalise their laws, of course, meeting a lot of resistance. But so there's a couple of pressures on these countries.
Yeah, but
it's a good thing to see happening.
It's a good thing that Prince William's doing it, because let's face it, there were a lot of gay kings that we've had over the years.
What?
Yes, there's a few of them have been bigger queens than the queens were.
But what rate of success are we expecting here? I mean, a country like Uganda, where you can be killed for being gay.
Yeah.
You need more than a change of law. You've got to educate people.
Well,
generations,
that's
almost.
That's true too. Well,
you can't say, "Oh, it's all right now." Mm. The homophobia and the hate is embedded.
Recently in India, they did the country law. We've wiped out illegality for gay people, and I think it was in respect mainly of trans people who were being really brutalized.
But they took that to the government, and the government changed their mind.
So that's the way it happened. Yeah.
But they've got some weird laws. Like, who was it was kissing in public? Like a Western movie star or something.
Excuse me, we had that law here because there was two guys outside the old Australia Hotel that had a kiss in. They kissed and they got fined or they got...
Yeah, but I'm talking a man and a woman.
Yeah. Oh,
it was the morality laws are just... weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's 37 countries still got these laws on the books, there's a fair amount of work to be done to get that sorted out.
I think it will take probably generations to do it, if, as Philip said, because it's, even with equal marriage that we have here in Australia now, I think it's going to take a couple of generations before it's totally and utterly accepted, you know.
Yeah. Because if you listen to the young people today talking, like young straight people, they just expect equality and they respect people that are different to them.
Mm, mm.
We weren't brought up that way.
No, no.
And just talking about young voices, did you hear that American girl and her rant about the gun laws?
Mm.
It's all BS. She challenged every statement that the politicians were putting up, and she, in her speech to her assembled group, it's BS. It's BS. It's yeah, BS.
She needed a chant from the audience.
Yeah.
And the BS
and
was there.
She got it. She was a really good little person in that respect.
We'll hear more from them in the next week or two.
Oh, yeah. And the next few when they have years.
But their march on Washington is coming up.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is that she also did carry on about the gun laws, about the young people being able to buy submachine guns and all this sort of business. She was very, very good the way she spoke out about the whole lot.
You know? One of her fellow students, because all of them were accused of being professional actors.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were just so good at what they were saying.
But the Americans are like that when you put a microphone in front of them. They can all just talk.
But this boy said, anybody who has accused me of being an actor should come and see me in a play because I've never been accused of being an actor.
But I think the gun laws will change. They'll have to change if the young people get really mobilised. That will happen.
They're changing from the bottom up because the government's
the government won't
do
anything because they're getting too much money for the National Rifle Association.
Who's losing sponsorship?
Yeah, who's losing sponsorship everywhere, yes.
Here's a joyful little song from Kylie Minogue.
Minogue?
Yes, it's Kylie. All about dancing.
From Camberwell?
Well, yes. And it's due to be released early in April, but we've got it here at Joy already, and we're playing it now for you here on Been There, Done That.
Which is that far ahead.
No one wants to stay at home, nobody wants to be alone. When you come knocking, I'll be at your door. I don't ever want to stop, I'm gonna give it all I've got. And when they ask me, who could ask for more? Can't stand still, won't slow down. When I go,
you're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
With Gordon, Phil and Chris, been there, done that. We're on this last stretch, fellows.
Are we? Oh, that's nice.
So we've got a few birthdays to mention or anniversaries, because there might be a couple of deadeds in amongst it.
Well, we only ever have one birthday, actually. The rest of them are all anniversaries if you get the, you know, that's the real thing.
But we've just been talking about reincarnation. Surely you have multiple birthdays.
Well, apparently you do until you get to the right last one when it's Nirvana or whatever it is, and you go off and you don't have to come back again.
What if you don't like their music?
Oh, well, there's a bit of a problem.
Or was that...
Yeah.
What was the band name?
Nirvana.
Was it Nirvana?
Nirvana, yes. Oh.
That's why I can't think of the other name. That's what I thought
you were talking about.
Yeah.
21st of the March, 1962, Rosie O'Donnell was born. Now a US actress, presenter, and shaker and mover.
Yes, she's she and her partner and another man formed the Our Family Vacations tourist group.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to run, or they still do run, cruises for the women.
Oh, women's right.
Cruises,
because
and they take their children along with them and all the rest of it. They have also started doing cruises for men, I believe, around the Caribbean for three or four days, and it's become quite a good thing for the
community. She's probably better known for her strong opinions.
Oh,
when she used to have a talk show, she would fling rubber bands at an audience. I don't know what that was about. And she was probably the first celebrity to have a stand-up, eye-scratching bitch fight with Donald Trump.
When was that on?
Oh, it's years ago now when it started. I mean, now they're bitter enemies.
Yes.
And he can't wait to rip her eyes out, and she just rips straight back.
And this is because he was a TV icon or presenter at that stage.
Yeah, but the topics are everything from their physical appearance to their opinions on politics and such and such. So it's hilarious because it's so childish.
Was it network war?
No, it was personal.
Well, you got
and it's all done on Twitter. So
when Cher came out here for the Mardi Gras, she said, "Don't get me on Donald Trump. I can't stand the man." You know, somebody asked her about Donald because they knew that she didn't like him. And she was quite adamant that she was, she said, "I'd kill him if I saw him."
Yeah, she's wealthy, experienced and wise.
Mm, mm.
So if you at a certain level of education, you can see right through him.
Yes, yes.
But if you're just listening to his rhetoric and saying, oh, we're going to make America great again, sounds cool.
He's only repeating what Hitler said about Germany before the First World, Second World War, going to make Germany great again. If you watch the thing about Hitler and then watched Trump, was echoing him, did the same damn thing. Yeah.
But Trump is, I love him because he can say one thing one day, come out the next day, and not only deny it, say the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And doesn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Well, so you can see why Rosie gets upset.
Well, I think a lot of the world is getting upset as well. But never mind. I think... We've been trumped, yes. Well, trumpery in the dictionary is a whole lot of stuff that isn't true. Is trumpery.
Well, it's a pretty good dictionary then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been in the English language for years, trumpery.
And you're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
But also having a birthday of great Australian poet and author, Dorothy Porter. So she was born in 1954, the 26th of March 1954, Dorothy Porter.
Yeah, and her partner in life was Andrea Goldsmith, born on the 24th of March 1950. So they were star signs together.
Pisces women. They weren't Pisces at that date. They would be the next one. They'd be.
But they found each other and they were fellow travellers in lots of ways.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to forget one another's birthday, would they?
No, no.
Would I know any of Dorothy's work?
Oh, you probably would. I can't remember it, not off straight offhand, but I know she wrote a hell of a lot of books, and she was also a commentator and all the rest of it. Very, very forthright woman in what she was doing.
Much like Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you get the lesbian women, they can be very, very forthright, and it's good for them.
And it's nice that plain vegetables get a say, like the good old commentator.
Commentator.
Thank you, Philip. Good-o.
I hear words different to other people.
You certainly do.
Certainly do. Someone else, whose anniversary we're sort of celebrating around about this time, was actually Sir Noel Coward on the 26th of March 1973. He was born in two centuries ago.
That's
in,
right.
In 1899.
Yes.
He was outrageous in society during his period of life, and he was a marvellous manipulator, positively, of the English language.
But he was never quite outrageous. He was always that sort of...
You mean one step short of being
one
outrageous.
Step short of being completely screaming queen, yes. But he was friends with all the royals. The royals loved him.
Oh, he was a friend of Dorothy's,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, oh, very good friend of Dorothy's. He owned the island of Mustique, where Princess Margaret used
to
go.
That's no mistake.
No mistake about that, yeah. She used to go down there and spend her holidays with her different boyfriends.
But he was a UK actor, a musician.
He was almost going nowhere at one stage, and he went to Las Vegas, and he appeared in one of the big casinos in Las Vegas. And they adored him. They loved him. He was there for months and months and months.
Don't let him go.
Did his superannuation very, very good.
he might not be known to the younger generation, but he left a legacy in the plays.
Some of his songs were very gay.
Oh, they were.
Yes.
But how did he get away with being gay?
Because
he was homosexual, but following the convention of his times was never publicly mentioned.
No, they didn't. The British never did. But you had lots of actors that were gay, great stars that were gay. Sir John Gielgud, they say that he missed out on his knighthood because he was a bit more open than the rest of them were. And it wasn't until very, very late that the Queen decided, or the government decided that he should get a knighthood. But he was just plain John Gielgud when all of his co-stars around him were getting knighthoods. But it was all the same. People knew that they were gay, but they didn't talk about it.
Yeah, and speaking of the younger generation, they may be aware of one of his songs about mad dogs and Englishmen.
Go out in the midday sun.
See, you guys remember it.
Yeah, but he also wrote a very, very... very, very good song about a French sailor called Matelot.
Matelot is a, is, as you say, a sailor. It's the French word for sailor.
That's right. Yes, he wrote a song all about falling in love with a matelot.
Yeah.
And it's called, the song is called Matelot. So,
but that's also of the generation, please, though, Gordon, where, in fact, men would often sing songs about men because that was the way they had been written.
Mm.
Therefore, they were sung in that gender sense.
Yeah.
But these days, we actually swap the pronoun across so you can have the same or opposites in the song.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to have opposites. One song that I heard recently was sung by two men, and it was the song from The King and I, We Kiss in a Shadow. But the words, I'm getting all misty. The words in that song were so appropriate for hidden love of the gay variety. We kiss in the shadows, we hide from the sun.
But there was a, talking about like that, there was a young guy that was on the So You've Got Talent or something, one of those things at Simon Cowell. He sang Adele's Never Be Alone, I think it's called, something like that. And he didn't sing it like in the same tempo that Adele did it. He did it in a soft and very, very emotional style. He's a gay guy.
Yeah.
And it just blew Simon Cowell away. He just said, I've never heard that song sung any better. You know, it had a totally different meaning to the song, the way this young lad sang it. He's just out here in Australia, I believe, doing a concert tour or something.
Mm. There you are.
So it's the interpretation you hear. Yes,
it is. And it's about time to interpret the clock.
Well, look, our interpretation is off, isn't it?
It's time to say cheerio. We'll catch you next week. Happy
The days will be getting shorter, though.
Oh, they are.
Next time we speak.
Yes, they will be too.
Cheerio for now. See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.